Let us pray. These are your words, O God. Humble us to speak their weight. Strengthen us to hear their truth. Free us to live their call. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When the Babylonians conquered Judah and destroyed Jerusalem, they took many Judeans into exile to Babylon. The destruction of the temple was a threat to the Jewish faith, and the exile was a threat to the very existence of the Jewish people. In today's first reading, Jeremiah writes a letter to the exiles, advising them to settle down in the foreign land for their own sake. The reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 7. Listen for the word of God. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So ends the reading. Today's gospel reading is one of the many of the sayings and stories found in Luke that are not found in any of the other gospels. This passage is the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. 9 lepers obediently go to the temple after they are healed, but one, a Samaritan, disobeys Jesus' command in order to return and thank him. The reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Listen again for God's word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I have this little bracelet. I seldom take it off. It came free with something that I bought a month or so ago. But I wear it because of the words stamped on it. It says, "Grateful, loved, strong." Now, I wear it not to remind myself to be grateful, or that I am loved, or can be strong, but because I actually feel all those things. I really do. But it's a cheap little thing, and I wonder, if I had been given it several months earlier, before I was diagnosed with cancer again, would I have just tossed it away when I got home? Would I feel so grateful? It seems almost counterintuitive, but it's often true. Our challenges can make us realize just how grateful we are. The truth is, excuse me, gratitude is a tricky thing because it can feel like obligation. We are told from childhood to be grateful for what we have. And yes, that is a good thing. But we can't make ourselves or others feel grateful. We can, though, as I said to the young women, we can practice gratitude until it becomes a habit. But sometimes gratitude just sweeps us off our feet. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther, when asked to describe the nature of true worship, said, "The tenth leper turning back." For there was no obligation there, just joy. And so I'm not sure that this text, this passage from the Gospel, is about gratitude, except that true gratitude, not just lip service, true gratitude can crack open our hearts. And when our hearts are open, our eyes are opened, and our minds are too. So there were 10 of them, a small community of outcasts huddled on the outskirts, a place Luke describes as between Samaria and Galilee. Which is kind of like saying between Mexico and the United States, you're either in one or the other. There's no strip of unoccupied territory between them. But this in-between region isn't so much geographical as theological. For it's there that Jesus encounters 10 people with leprosy, people who live outside the borders of community and culture. For leprosy in biblical times, it seems to have been refer to a group of skin disorders, things like psoriasis and eczema. Though from the book of Leviticus, we know that even inanimate things like wood, stone, and fabric could be deemed leprous, contaminated. Since the cause of the problem was unknown, as I said, it was often attributed to God's wrath. And so its sufferers were banished. As Leviticus says, the person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled. That's a sign of mourning. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. A person whose leprous disease had abated had to be inspected by a priest and undergo a three-step purification ritual before they could re-enter the community and resume normal life. So Jesus encounters these 10 people with leprosy living on the margins, member of neither community, neither of Galilee or Samaria, but of some in-between no man's land. They call out, not unclean, unclean, but Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You'd think Luke might say, when Jesus heard their cries. But no, he says, when he saw them. When he saw them, Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And off they went, just as Jesus directed. Joyfully, maybe, confused, maybe, but in a hurry, no doubt, to begin the purification that would lead them back to their homes, their loved ones, their lives. Yet even as they hurried off, Luke tells us, they were made clean. They were made clean, something only a priest could accomplish, something only the weeks-long ritual could enact, but no, already they were made clean. And one stopped. One stopped and saw himself as he was, clean, healed. Is it too much to say redeemed from his banishment? and his pain? And he turned back. He turned back, heading now in the opposite direction as fast as he had hurried towards the temple, and praising God with a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. The 10th leper turning back. For there is no obligation here. Jesus had sent him away. There was no obligation, no sense of duty, just joy. Overflowing in gratitude and praise and recognition, maybe. For he saw what the others, it seems, did not. He saw who Jesus was and what he had done. And he turned back. 10 people were cured of leprosy. Only one saw right away that he was healed. Only one turned back. 10 people were cured of leprosy. Only one glorified God and worshiped at Jesus' feet. And that one, Luke makes a point of telling us, was a Samaritan. And we've lost the shock of that. We may remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. We may know that Samaritans were foreigners, outsiders, a double outsider in this case, leprous and alien. Can we recapture the shock value of that statement? What have we heard? He was an undocumented immigrant with Ebola. They were a transgendered person with AIDS. She was, can you fill in the blank? 10 people were cured of leprosy, but only one saw that he was healed, turned back, and worshiped. And Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where were they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Or did he ask, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And did he look with joy and wonder and love upon this one who, oh, so unexpectedly turned back? Did he say with delight, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Was Jesus grateful too for the healing, for the turning back, for the alleluias? All 10 were made clean. All 10 were healed. And this one, this outsider, was made well. And the Greek word Jesus used is akin to the Hebrew word shalom, a word rich in meaning. It means made well, saved, made whole. Your faith has made you whole. 10 people were cured of leprosy, but only one, it seems, was made whole. He received both cure and wholeness, and Jesus again sent him on his way. Get up, go! Did he take off again in a hurry, still praising God, trying to catch up with his 9 brothers to spread the good news? 10 were cured, and only one turned back. That's probably about the right percentage. I suspect that most of us, most of the time, are like those other 9. We want to obey, to do what is right. We want to play by the rules. Jesus said, go, we go. We don't let a little thing like joy get in the way of our duty. But I suspect that most of us also, at one time or another, have been that 10th leper. Have you been? Have you encountered Jesus? Felt yourself made whole, stopped in your tracks, and turned back to praise God before rushing off to spread the good news? Or perhaps you're waiting, still waiting, somewhere on the margins, somewhere on the outskirts, for someone to see you. Or maybe, like even that 10th leper might have done in time, probably like the other 9 did, maybe some of us have simply forgotten what it was like to be healed, saved, and made whole. Forgotten our excitement, our joy. We only remember what it was like to be ill, to be shunned. So we look with mistrust and resentment at those still on the margins. We keep our distance, lest we too be made unclean again. Can we recall our encounter with Jesus? Our encounter with the one who came to show us who God is, and in doing so, showed us what it is to be fully human. It is a good thing to be grateful to God for everything we've been given. Gratitude is a wonderful thing to cultivate. Count your blessings isn't just a nice saying, but it's a profound spiritual practice. But if our gratitude is just lip service, just obligation, if it leads us to rushing off on our own business instead of stopping to see who is not with us, instead of turning back to see where Jesus is and what he's up to, then I wonder, is it gratitude or self-congratulation, piety or sanctimoniousness? Like that Pharisee who shows up in the lectionary soon, the one who prays, "Oh God, I'm so grateful I'm not like those people." Or like people who say, "Why, bless your heart," when what they really mean is, "Get lost, creep." Jesus went to the outskirts, the borderland, the place of exiles and outcasts. When the little band of untouchables shouted at him, he saw them. He looked at them, not past them. And he offered them the mercy they asked for and sent them on their way, cured. And he rejoiced with the one who came back rejoicing. Who else is there hiding in the no man's land of our society, made outcast, called unclean? The indigent elderly, the asylum seeker at our borders, or the resident immigrant, legal or not? Children, bullied for so many senseless reasons, pushed to the margin because they are different. We know who Jesus saw at the margin. Do we see them, these outcasts, these neighbors, these friends in the shadows, longing to be healed, healed not from who they are, but from what we have deemed them, sinful, untouchable? And can you imagine what rejoicing there will be for all of us when they are healed and embraced and welcomed home? Because if we really are grateful, we cannot help but share our joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.